through Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 in our Bibles tonight. I want to look at something that the Lord has been kind of stirring in my heart the last several weeks. And I was prepared, or at least I felt like the Lord was giving me direction to preach this last Sunday night. And then I felt that He moved it to a later date. And so I prepared to preach this evening. But in Jeremiah chapter number 17, I want us to look beginning in verse number 5. And when we're in Jeremiah chapter 17, the unique thing is that we're going to see tonight is the verse from Jeremiah that we memorized as a church family last month. And I want to put some verses around that verse that we memorized, a couple verses before, and then one verse after, to encourage us this evening. And maybe perhaps the Lord had me wait on this message just for simply the purpose of what our family had to go through this past weekend. And just to kind of encourage me, I don't know, maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. But we want to talk about how important it is to trust God tonight. And we see this here in Jeremiah chapter number 17. And to put aside all of our own reasoning and maybe perhaps others around us and the things that we can gain or accumulate in this world and learn to put our complete and whole and entire trust in the Lord. And so the prophet Jeremiah is going to encourage us here from Jeremiah. We're going to start reading in verse number 5. I want to go ahead and read through the entire text. It's just four verses. And then I want to take the time to go back to each of those individual verses and try to encourage us with some things tonight here from Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to notice something that the prophet gives us as an illustration, a comparison. Really, it's actually a contrast that he gives to us. And he does it in two different ways. And so I want to read the verses first, and then I want to take the time to go back and notice these things. So look at verse number 5, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, of course, this is the prophet Jeremiah who writes the book. He says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." So cursed is the man that puts his trust in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Look at verse 6, if you would. He begins to reveal to us what this man will be compared to. The man that trusts in man, what is he compared to? Notice the comparison that it gives here, verse 6. "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And then we want to move to verse number 7. In verse number 7 and in verse number 8, he gives us a contrast to what we saw in verse 5 and verse number 6. But then also, verse 7 is a comparison to what we see in verse number 8. So notice verse 7. This is the verse that we memorized in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now, if you remember what we read in verse number 5, it said, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man, that trusteth in man. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Look at verse number 8, because now he's going to take what he has said in verse 7 and give us a comparison. What is that man like? The man who puts his trust in the Lord. What is he like? Look at verse number 8. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now, we're going to take verse number 5 and verse number 6 and then down through verse number 8, And we're going to try to notice what the prophet encourages us with here in Jeremiah chapter 17. The prophet Jeremiah gives us or presents to us a very vivid contrast between two opposite kinds of trust. In verse number 5, he talks to us about trusting in man. And then he gives a contrast in verse number 7 to putting our trust in God or putting our trust in the Lord. So we see a contrast from verse 5 to verse number 7. And then from verse 5 to verse 6, again, remember, we also saw that comparison. So we saw what the man that puts his trust in man will be like. And then we saw in verse 7, comparison to verse number 8, what the man who puts his trust in the Lord will be like. And then in verse number 6 and verse number 8, so in verse 5 and 7, he talks to us about the difference between trusting in man and the difference between trusting in God. And then in verse 6 and verse number 8, he gives us a contrasting image or a contrasting illustration or example drawn from nature. And he draws this from nature for the purpose of revealing the difference of these two types of trust. In verse number 6, we see a shrub that is in the desert. That's the comparison to the man who puts his trust in man. And we're going to break down verse number 6 in just a moment. And then in verse number 8, he talks to us about a tree that is planted by the waters. And he uses that as a comparison for the man who puts his trust in the Lord. So let's go back to these verses that we just read, and let's talk just for a moment about putting our trust in man and the comparison that's given to a shrub that is found in the desert. And then the importance of putting our trust in God and the comparison that's given of a tree that's planted by the waters. So look back, if you would, at verse number 5, and let's notice the thought of trusting in man. The Bible says in verse number 5 again, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Cursed is that man. Would you keep your place there in Jeremiah chapter 17, and would you take the time to look at a verse in Psalm 118 that really is a parallel to what we're seeing here in Jeremiah chapter 17. Psalm 118, and when you've located Psalm 118, if you would look down to verse number 8, we're going to again see a verse that is a parallel to what we see here in Jeremiah chapter number 5. Notice it says this in Psalm 118 and verse number 8. It said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." The thought that's given there, paralleled to what we just read from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5, the danger of putting our confidence or putting our trust in man. The psalmist said it's better to put your trust in God than to put confidence in man. Man can fail us, but our God never will. We said it this morning, man can change, but our God never will. Because man is human, they can fail to keep their promises or fail to keep a word that's been given. But God, because of His holiness and perfection, He will always keep His promises. So it's better to put trust in man than to put in God than to put our confidence in man. Now notice back with me, if you would, to verse number 5 in Jeremiah chapter 17, because I want to take a little small portion of this verse and I want to help us to understand it. It says in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that that trusteth in man." Now notice the next few words, "and maketh flesh his arm." Now that little phrase there in the middle of verse number 5, "making or maketh flesh his arm," has the idea of personal reliance on human or earthly resources. So the thought is when we put our trust in man, we are putting our reliance or our confidence in human or earthly resources. we've at that point then neglected spiritual resources, and we've neglected divine resources. We know our God, He has enough resources to meet all of our needs, doesn't He? And so He doesn't want us to put our trust and our confidence in man, but He would rather go to us, or excuse me, He would rather that we go to Him and to rely upon Him to meet our needs and to take care of us. Remember that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 6 where several illustrations are given of how that God will take care of the grass. God can take care of the birds. God can take care of them. And if He's able to take care of them, He's able to provide for us, isn't He? So He has enough resources to meet all the needs that we have. And so let's not put our reliance on human and earthly resources and forsake the spiritual and divine resources that we have from our Heavenly Father. Really, the picture of verse number 5, or putting our trust in man, is really a picture of self-confidence. And I want you to notice this evening three different ways that we can live in self-confidence. Three different ways in which we can have confidence in ourself instead of having confidence in our Lord. Number one, we can live in self-confidence, number one, when we have confidence in our own wisdom and in our own strength. What I can do for myself. What I can do to take care of my needs. All the wisdom that I have it in myself. All of the strength, it's in myself. But God wants us to rely upon Him, doesn't He? God wants us to rely upon His wisdom that He gives to us. And the book of James, we said it this morning in our men's Sunday school class, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and He abradeth not, and it will be given to you, He says. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. God does not desire that we live in our self-confidence and rely upon our own wisdom and our own strength. But a second way that we can live in self-confidence, number two, we can have confidence in our fellow man. Now, I've got news. Well, we already understand this. It's not going to be news for you. Our fellow man can let us down, can't they? Our fellow man can fail us. But we can live in self-confidence, number one, if we rely on our own strength and our own wisdom, or if we live in the confidence of our fellow man. Our fellow man is just as fallible as we are, just as weak as we are. Not that we want to use a word to hurt or offend us tonight, but they're just as ignorant as we are. We need God's wisdom, don't we? We need God's strength in our life, and we cannot rely upon ourselves, and we cannot rely upon our fellow man. But a third way that we can live in self-confidence, putting our trust in man, is that we can get to a place where we're living in confidence of that which we have outwardly, or maybe perhaps the circumstantial things of life, perhaps the worldly riches that we have, the material gain that we have. Now, we all understand what the Bible says about that. Material and worldly wealth and worldly gain can be here, and then it can be gone. So God says not to put your trust in worldly gain and worldly riches and material gain and material riches. Don't put your trust in that which you can see outwardly that's around you. Or maybe that which is circumstantial that is around you. But to put your trust in the Lord. So before we go from verse number 5 so quickly that we would say, well, of course I don't put my trust in man. My trust is in the Lord. Let us think about the ways that we can, though, live in self-confidence. Where we try to do things in our own strength. Maybe for the Sunday school teacher tonight to rely upon the Lord's power as you teach. Maybe for the preacher tonight to say to rely upon the Lord's power, instead of getting up and trying to do things in our own strength. Maybe in your job and the task that God has given you in that way, to not rely upon your own strength, or perhaps the wisdom and strength of your fellow man, or the outward things that you feel like you have that you can put your confidence in. Because they can be here today and they can be gone tomorrow. And I think we all understand that, don't we? So let's not put our confidence and our trust in man. But now let's notice the comparison. Because look at what the Bible says that kind of a man is like. Look at what it says in verse number 6. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Let's break down that verse for a minute, because here's what I want us to understand tonight. I want us to understand that those who put their trust in man, it leads to some things in their life. I think we saw it as the comparison or the illustration from verse number 6. The first thing I want us to notice, when we put our trust in man, it leads, number one, to a life of vanity. A life of vanity. All is vain when we put our trust in man. Notice back to verse number 6. Would you look at the very first part of verse number 6? It says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert." He shall be like the heath in the desert. We'll get to a place where in vanity, things around us will be false and misleading as we put our trust in man. As we put our confidence and trust in man, it offers no sure foundation. Who is the only one that can offer us a sure foundation? It's Jesus Christ, and in him alone. We sing a song, a children's song that we'll sing from time to time on the bus, about the passage of Scripture that comes from Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about the wise and the foolish builder. When we decide to build our life on any foundation apart from Jesus Christ, it's vain, isn't it? And so the wise man, he built his house on the rock. And as the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 7, when the storms came and when the winds beat against that house, it stood sure. Why? Because it was built on the solid foundation. So what's the application there? I know in the children's song it even says it. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, that sure, solid foundation, as we're putting our trust in him, the song says the blessings will come down. The blessings come down as you put your trust in God. But there's the illustration of the foolish man who built his house on the sand, which we understand is the illustration of building our life on any other foundation apart from Jesus Christ, whether it be our riches, whether it be the job that we have, or the position that we have, the circumstances that we have in life. Let's not build our life on those things. That's all vain. And the illustration is given at the beginning of verse number 6. I like how he says it. He says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert." It's a picture, just as that shrub that's in the desert finds nothing to nourish it. Now, why would it not find anything to nourish it? Because it's in the middle of barren sand. And as a result of that shrub being in the desert, and it cannot be nourished by anything, so man cannot draw what they need in life from human and earthly resources. If we try in our lives to draw what we need from human and earthly resources, it will lead to a life of vanity. All will be vain. So number one, when a man puts his trust in man, it leads to vanity. But number two, it leads to loss. It leads to loss. So number one, it leads to vanity. But number two, when we put our trust in man, it leads to loss. Notice what the Bible says at the middle of verse number 6, if you would. It says this, "And shall not see when good cometh." A man who puts his trust in man is blinded to that which is good. The false direction of his trust and his confidence has blinded his eyes. The way that he is putting his confidence, or what he is putting his confidence in, it's blinded his eyes. He cannot see the good things. I'll give you an illustration which I think would perhaps be one of the greatest illustrations that I could ever give for this. Perhaps maybe you could think of something that would be a better illustration, but I'm thinking about the false direction of a person's trust and confidence when they've put it in man instead of putting it in God, and how it blinds their eyes. I've knocked on many a door where I've had individuals open a door, and those of you that have gone out soul winning, those of you who have knocked on doors, those of you perhaps who have even talked to somebody and just handed them a gospel tract and had a conversation with them, you may have perhaps heard this before. I've even shared it as an illustration before, how that individuals have looked at me from time to time and have said, you see all that I own? Do you see everything that I possess? Do you really think I need what you are talking to me about? I mean, look at this nice house that I have. I've had people that have literally, and maybe perhaps some of you that have been out soul winning, you've had the same thing happen to you, literally say, look at the house I have. Look at the vehicles that we have in the driveway. Does it look like I need what you're telling me about? Does it look like I need Jesus? See, the false direction of their trust and their confidence have blinded their eyes to that which is good. They've put their trust and their confidence in man. They've put their trust and confidence in the outward things that they have accumulated, the circumstances in their life and how they seem to have lined up in their life to make it so that they don't have to trust the Lord. And so here's what they're really ultimately saying. I would prefer or rather have this than have God. I would rather put my trust in this than to put my trust in the good thing, the relationship with God, the trust that we would put in our God. God would be best, but instead of trusting what is best, they are taking what they would prefer, what they would rather have, and they're blinded into believing that this thing is better than the good thing. This thing is better than the best thing. Maybe perhaps for some it would be their money. Maybe perhaps for some it would be a relationship. This relationship that I have is more important to me than putting my trust in God. This possession that I have, this sin that I'm partaking of, the sin that I'm partaking of blinds my eyes from seeing that which is good, from seeing that which is best, the pleasure in my life. You know, the Bible talks about sin and how it's pleasurable, but only for a season. It's only for a short time that it brings us that pleasure, but they look at that pleasure and it blinds their eyes. Or maybe a position that they have, a promotion perhaps that they've gotten at work, and they're relying upon that. Maybe a business that is thriving, and they're relying upon that instead of putting their confidence in God, and it blinds their eyes to that which is good, and ultimately that which is best in their life. So when we put our trust in man, number one, it leads to vanity. Number two, it leads to loss. And number three, it leads to fruitlessness. It leads to fruitlessness. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number six, if you would. It says this, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. The parched places are the places that yield no solid nourishment, that yield no solid food. When you think about that shrub that's in the desert, that's exactly what's taking place. It's yielding no nourishment. It's yielding no solid food, and therefore it leads to a withered and a wasted life. You say, a withered and a wasted life? Yes, that's the life that puts its trust in man instead of its trust in God. But we do have some good news in this passage because it leads us to verse number 7. And notice what the Bible says about putting our trust in God as we finish off the second part of this. Look at verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. We memorized it, didn't we? We committed this to memory in the month of September. I hope you did. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Now, opposite of putting our trust in man, here's the illustration of a man who puts his trust in God. This is a life that is rooted and grounded in God. That which is unseen, but yet eternal. We can't see God, but yet we by faith put our trust and our confidence and we yield our hearts to Him, don't we? God, I can't see you, but I know you're there. God, I can't see you, but I know you're good. Again, an illustration I tried to share with my girls last night. God's here with us. He's protecting us, and we know that He's a good God. He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. And although God is unseen, the man who puts his trust in that which is unseen benefits for all of eternity. Because one day we're going to get to see face to face what we've put our faith in. God says to us, you believe and then you'll get to see. You believe and there'll be a reward for your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God and believeth that he is. What a great truth in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 when it talks to us about our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're putting our faith in that which we cannot see. Our confidence in the unseen, but it leads to such great blessings in the eternal. And then let's get to verse number 8 because he compares this to a tree that's planted by the rivers of water as we bring the message to a close. Look at verse number 8 if you would. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, just a moment ago, we told you that when we put our trust in man, it leads to a few things. We talked about vanity, we talked about loss, we talked about fruitlessness. Well, just as putting our trust in man leads to some things, putting our trust in God leads to some things as well. And that's what I want to finish with tonight, and I want to look at it from verse number 8. We take just a moment to break down verse number 8 as we bring our message tonight to a close. Putting our trust in God, number 1, leads to growth. It leads to growth. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? You know, the illustration we could give about growth is we would say that I'm thinking about my baby Adeline. If my baby Adeline, who's going to be 9 months here soon, if she would stay that way for the rest of her life, that would be something we would say, that's abnormal. That's not the way it goes. Physically, we grow, don't we? Spiritually, do you desire that? Do you desire to grow spiritually? He says the man who puts his trust in God is going to grow. He's going to be like this tree. Notice how the tree grows. Would you see the start of the verse? He says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. What way is this tree growing? Well, just like that tree, our lives take deep root in the Lord. That tree spreads out its branches and it begins to grow. When a tree is not growing, it ultimately leads to decay and ultimately it dies off, doesn't it? Matter of fact, during our work day, the men, Brother Gene and Brother Terry, cut down one of our dead trees out here in the backyard. I know it was a project they had kind of been wanting to do, and during our work day, Brother Terry goes down to his house, he grabs his tractor and brings it back here, and they grab a couple chainsaws and get that tree cut down. Now, one thing I will say about that day, Brother Gene and Brother Terry, they told me I was in the back courtyard area here doing some work, and they told me, he said, we're going to go down, we're going to get the tractor, we're going to get the chainsaws, we're going to come down and cut this dead tree, and they were gone ever so long. And I'm starting to think, these guys tricked me. Here, I'm standing outside here waiting to help them with this tree, and they're not coming back. Well, Brother Terry had some problems with a backhoe, and when he got to his house, the parts for that had arrived. And he couldn't wait. He had to open the parts up and try to see what was going to happen with the backhoe, so he put me off a little bit, but they did come back. And by the way, if you want to see some videos of that day, it'll be a real blessing to you if you see some videos of that day. We had Brother Terry we were hauling the limbs back to our pile that we have over on this side in the backyard here. And Brother Terry was in the driver's seat on the tractor and on his lap piled all over, and we had children. My children, I think the Browns were there. I don't know if there were any other children, but man, they were piled on top of Brother Terry, and then they were piled in the back on the wagon. And Brother Terry's just driving them down to where the limbs are. They throw the limbs off, and then they start to come back. And the whole purpose of that was to cut down that tree that had died, that tree that had withered away and died. And, you know, we think about that, how that there's no life there. There's not growth that's taking place. The Bible says we ought to be growing as a Christian. We ought to have life as a Christian. There ought to be times where we're growing in our life as Christians. I think of the passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 1, where God says to us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started a work in you, and he wants to finish that work in you. And it's like the children's song that we sing, he's still working on me. Not one of us, I don't care how long we've been saved, we're to the point where we say we're spiritually mature and there's no more growing that can take place. Not one of us in here tonight would admit that. We wouldn't say that. We need to grow. We need to be more like Jesus Christ every day and growing to be the Christian that he wants us to be, growing to be the servant that he wants us to be, so that we can hear from him one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done what I've asked for you to do. You've finished the course. You've kept the faith," the truth of growing in Christ. Let's not stay like we are now. Let's be growing every day. I think of that verse in Peter that says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, we understand that that verse does not mean that we're to be holy in the sense that God is holy. He is holy, and we would define his holiness, he's perfect in every way, isn't he? There's nothing that we could say that is an imperfection in our God. He's perfect in every way. So God, if you're saying, "Be ye holy as I am holy," or "for I am holy," how am I supposed to be holy as you are, God? I can't reach that place. No, God's not telling us to be perfect in every way like he is, but he is saying to grow to be more like me every day. Grow to mature to be the Christian that he wants you to be. And so let's be growing in the Lord. But then notice something else about this man who puts his trust in the Lord. Not only is there growth, but the Bible says in the middle of the verse, notice this, it says, "And shall not see when heat cometh," now notice this, "but her leaf shall be green." Another great sign of growing. The leaf is green. And it helps us to understand that not only the man who puts his trust in the Lord, it'll lead to growth, but it'll also lead to beauty. It'll lead to beauty. We think of the beauty of that tree as the leaves are nice and green and it's growing like it should be growing. I was talking to my girls about how that in just a few weeks here, and I'm noticing, of course, some of it already, I said, we're going to get to drive to church. And man, as we're driving to the church, we're going to get to see all of the beautiful trees, how they've changed colors. And of course, our drive to church is already beautiful. And some of you might say the same thing about your drive to church. We do live in a very beautiful area. And I'm thinking about the drive to church and how we're going to get to see all of those, the beauty of those trees. But we think about the greenness of that tree as it's growing and the beauty of it. You say, well, are you talking about a physical beauty? I don't know that anyone perhaps might look at us and compliment us maybe necessarily on our beauty, but isn't there a beauty, though, in trusting the Lord? There is a beautiful thing about putting our faith and trust in the Lord, just like that tree that's planted by the waters. But then notice the third thing. He says at the third part of verse number 8, it says this, "And shall not be careful in the year of drought." There's no reason for that tree to worry. There's no reason for that tree to have any fears. Here's the third thing. As we put our trust in the Lord, not only do we see growth, not only do we see beauty, but we see strength as well. The strength of this tree is able to resist drought because it's planted by the waters. It's growing the way it should. So it's able to withstand and to resist moments of drought. It's able to withstand and resist heat and wind that might come because it's planted by the waters. It's got great strength. Now, my life verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," I like the very first part of this verse, "be steadfast and unmovable." The Bible is giving the illustration there, the same illustration it would give for that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Unmovable. The drought won't affect it. The wind won't affect it. The heat won't affect it because there's strength. You know, just like we said this morning, and just like Brother Ron sang this morning, there are at times in our life we're going to face difficulties. But as we face the difficulties of life, as we go through the defeats of life, have you ever felt like you've been defeated with something? Man, I tried to accomplish something, but it just almost feels like I've been defeated. As we face the difficulties of life and the defeats of life and the discouragements of life, and may we even mention the delays of life, when we would have liked something to go a little quicker. But just like David, anointed to be king as a teenager and won't take over the throne till 30, the age of 30, but he patiently waits. When we go through the delays of life, when things don't perhaps work out in our timing, would we take confidence in knowing that God gives us the power and the strength to overcome? God gives us the power and the strength to stand for him. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians, he even talks about some armor that he gives us, doesn't he? And all of that armor is for the purpose of a Christian standing. Stand, therefore. And he talks about the pieces of armor that we can put on. So God gives us the power and the strength to stand and to overcome and to serve the Lord in spite of the things that we go through. We can still trust him and put our confidence in him. But then let's notice the last thing at the end of verse number 8, and we'll be done. Notice what trusting in the Lord leads to. Putting our trust in the Lord. Notice what it leads to. The end of verse number 8. Ready? Here we go. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, would you look back up at the end of verse number 6 for me one more time? What did the end of verse number 6 say? Verse number 6 says this: He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. That's the man that lives in fruitlessness. No fruit at all. But what does the Bible say is true about the man who trusts in the Lord? He is very productive. There's productiveness. Productiveness is certainly different than fruitlessness. To be fruitful, to be productive in our Christian life. And the Bible says that he will, neither shall he cease from yielding fruit. Now, you may have already noticed that when we have read through Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 8, it is similar to another verse in the book of Psalm. Have you noticed that? There's a verse in the book of Psalm that this verse is almost identical to. And I want to take the time as we draw to an end to show you that. Psalm 1, there's just a few verses in Psalm 1, but the Bible tells us in Psalm 1 and verse number 3, it talks to us about what is true of the blessed man, the blessed man. It says in Psalm 1 and verse number 3, if you're going to take the time to turn there, I'll be in verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'd say a lot of us are familiar with that verse, right? What's the last part of that verse say, though? Notice what it says. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is the Bible talking about? The Bible's talking about being productive, being fruitful. The blessed man is the one that's like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And then the Bible says in the book of Psalm, I want you to notice one more passage, and you may not take the time to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. In Psalm 92, verse number 12, let's notice what this says. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You talk about productiveness, fruitfulness. The man who puts his faith and his trust in the Lord, the blessed man. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse number 8, it talks to us about bearing fruit. And in John chapter number 15 and verse number 8, the Bible says this: herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, that you be productive as a Christian. Now remember, John chapter 14 talks about bearing fruit in different ways. It talks about bearing fruit, and then it talks about bearing more fruit, and then it talks about bearing much fruit. May we be a much fruit-bearing Christian. May we be productive in our lives as we put our faith and trust in Him. If we're rooted in Christ, the truth that I believe that we see is that there is no limit to our fruitfulness. Now, by the way, even with a tree, that's the ultimate goal of a tree that's going to provide fruit ultimately, that it would be fruitful. If you're going to have an apple tree, you want it to be fruitful and produce a lot of apples. That's what God desires for us, right? The ultimate goal is to be productive. The ultimate goal is to be fruitful and that we would bear much fruit. And as we're rooted in Christ, as we're putting our trust in Him, again, no limit to the fruitfulness. May we be fruitful Christians. May we put our faith and trust in the Lord. May we stray away from self-confidence, trusting our own wisdom and our own strength, relying upon perhaps the wisdom and strength of our fellow man and the outward and circumstantial things of life, but putting our faith and our trust in the God that we serve. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the fact that we can put our trust in You.